Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reading for our consideration today is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you now increase our faith through them. Amen. If you've ever been in a child's cancer wing in a hospital, I've been in a few of these, or maybe just a regular hospital where there's a very little child, maybe 2-3 years old, and it's difficult to watch a child go through something like that. It's just something worse about that than as people age. And quite often in hospitals now, they'll have a bed in the room for mom or dad. Or at least a nice reclining chair, knowing that it will be beneficial for that child to have mom or dad present there. And there may be times when a little child in that condition or situation is feeling some discomfort and some pain and wants to express that somehow, but doesn't quite know what to say. But the mom will get up from the bed and go out to one of the doctors or a nurse and be able to verbalize what her child is going through, even though the child doesn't even understand what's actually happening. But the mom, knowing the child so well and having a greater grasp of things, will be able to go and verbalize and express what the child would be unable to express. It's kind of a picture for us of what we see in the text today as to how the Holy Spirit is with us as we go through things in this life. St. Paul says, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. And isn't that true? There are times when we can just get kind of frustrated in life. And there's times when there's something just bugging you and you don't know always why. You can't even put it into words. And because we live in this fallen world and all the troubles that we go through in life, there's kind of a cloud of frustration that can hang over us at times. There's sort of this fog of uncertainty that's in front of us. Sometimes it's our own health issues or the health issues of someone in our family. Maybe it's economic things. Maybe it's trouble in relationships that we're having. And there's just stuff that can cause us to inwardly groan. And we don't even necessarily think about why it's bugging us, but it is. It's just something that is sitting on our minds and our hearts, and it has to do with the fact that we're just in this fallen world. And the word groaning here, I think, is such a great word for that. Because a groan, if you think about a groan inside of you, it's something that's hard to kind of express into words. And yet it's very present. Everybody here knows exactly what St. Paul is talking about. So the Holy Spirit, just like that mom in the hospital for her child, the Holy Spirit is able to take the things that are bothering us and on our souls and hearts and minds and consciences and shape those into actual requests and carry them now to the throne of God our Father in heaven. And will always help shape those requests into what is ultimately for our good, just like that mom, and will ultimately be for our eternal good, not necessarily always for the good of this life, but especially for our eternal good, to keep us with our Savior. And so he makes this intercession for us. God the Holy Spirit carries our prayers, even when we can't put them into words, on up to the throne of God. And there may be times when you feel insignificant. There may be times when you feel like the problems you're dealing with are too small for God to even have to worry about or care about. And yet, in the kingdom of heaven, in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, from God's perspective, there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important. And so even when we can't verbalize things, the Holy Spirit is carrying these frustrations and groans and so on up to the throne of God. You can kind of see this in the personal nature of this for us as believers. You can see it in the ministry of Jesus. Remember the story of the paralyzed man whose friends lowered him down into that very packed room full of people? And as the man was being lowered down, if you had asked him a question while they were doing that, what was the heaviest thing on his mind, he maybe couldn't have been able to tell you. But what does Jesus do? He says to this man, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." Jesus was well aware of what was troubling his heart and his conscience more than his paralysis. And he speaks to him about the greatest issue then that he's actually dealing with, even though he maybe wasn't able at that moment to verbalize it. There's another incident where Jesus was confronted by a blind man. And Jesus knew everything, of course, about his life. He knew all of the frustrations in this man's heart and so on. And he knew exactly what he himself was going to do for him. And yet he still invites him to tell him what the issue is. He says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, in a sense, the request of this man was already known to Christ even before he goes about the great miracle of healing him. But he wanted that interaction with the man. God enjoys the interaction that we bring to him when we make our prayers and our requests known. Just like a parent enjoys to have that interaction with their child, even when they maybe know exactly what the child is going to ask them, they still love that interaction, and they still love to see their child come and make that request. Or think about Peter on the beach the day that the great catch of fish took place. And he's feeling such guilt. He realizes he's in the presence of the Almighty Son of God. And so Peter goes and he makes the wrong prayer, the wrong request. He says, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And the Holy Spirit, if you will, brings that request to Christ and twists it into the right situation and brings it to the ear of Christ so that he hears, "I need you more than ever." So this is how God the Holy Spirit takes and intercedes for us, even when we're not sure what to pray, or even sometimes if we're saying the wrong thing in our prayer. God sanctifies and cleanses our prayer and brings it to the throne of God. So not only do we have open access to our Heavenly Father because of this wonderful gift of prayer, but he provides this additional interfacing through the work of the Holy Spirit, even when we're not aware of it. You know, when we get to heaven someday, we're going to find out that there were things that the Holy Spirit was dragging out of our hearts on up to God that we had no idea about. Things that we're maybe going to later going to say, "Yeah, I should have prayed about that, and I didn't." Well, you did. God, the Holy Spirit, working in your heart through that wonderful channel of faith we have through God's grace, was bringing those to the ear of the Father. Now, this is an extremely expensive communication that we have with God. It's extremely costly. Not to you, not to me. It didn't cost us anything. It's a free present from God. But it cost the death of his Son. It cost the blood and the suffering and the experience of hell for his Son, for you and me to be able to have this ear of God, our Heavenly Father. It's because of that the curtain and the wall between us and God that separated us has now been torn in two when our Lord said, "It is finished." And so our prayers now have direct access to God. Listen to what Paul says. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." And this is why Jesus instructs us to bring our prayers to our Heavenly Father through him and in his name, even when it's just a groan or a sigh. Because I love that line in our text that the Holy Spirit searches the heart. The Holy Spirit comes down into our hearts and he looks around and into our minds, and he figures out the things that really are going to help us the most as far as keeping our faith in our Savior so we can get to heaven someday. And sometimes God will take even the requests that we make and magnify them, make them even more grand. Here's a great paragraph from Luther. Listen to this. It's as if a person should write his father asking for silver, but the father is disposed to give him 1,000 pieces of gold. The father throws away the letter and disregards it. And when the son learns of this and realizes that the silver is not coming to him as he requested, he's made sad. But he doesn't realize there's a much greater answer to his prayer than he even thought. One last thing to notice in our text and with this whole concept, and that is the Trinitarian nature of the activity that is going on and discussed here. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in the work of your salvation. The Father sends the Son. The Holy Spirit, the Son, comes and pays for your sins in full. He rises from the dead to give you the hope of your resurrection. The Holy Spirit creates the faith in your heart and works in that faith now to bring your request to God, to keep you ultimately on the path of faith so that someday you can be in heaven. There is a cooperative effort. It's the same grace that is being used and utilized by all three persons of the Trinity on your behalf. And as Paul says, it's all part of the great scheme and plan of making sure you will get to enjoy heaven someday. At the end of one of his letters, Paul closes with this line, and I've always loved this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. What an amazing God that we have, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that has blessed us in Christ and has given us the wonderful certainty and promise that even when the frustrations of this life boil over in us, that he's still bringing those wonderful requests to the throne of the Father in order to keep us on the path to heaven. Amen. Let's join now in a prayer on page 156 in the front part of your hymn book, page 156. Prayer number 73, collect number 73. Let's rise as we join to pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your Son, you have promised us that whatever we ask in his name, you will give us. We beseech you, keep us in your word and grant us your Holy Spirit that he may govern us according to your will. Protect us from the power of the devil, from false doctrine and worship, and also defend our lives against all danger. Grant us your blessing and peace, that we may in all things perceive your merciful help, and both now and forever praise and glorify you as our gracious Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.